So we pray, Heavenly Father, our one desire tonight is to give you preeminence, to give you glory, to hopefully say those things that are right and true, to magnify your great and holy name, Lord, in this hour in which we live. We believe, Lord, that's the object that we have in mind, what we wish to do, to bring the people into a state of edification by way of the truth as it is in your word, not to give ourselves some cover-up or some fig leaf apron, Lord, but to stand in the righteousness of the revelation of Almighty God, Lord, to know the thing right, and even as we are known right, we look to that tonight, Lord. We believe that this is possible. We believe, Lord, that we do not deal in realms of psychology or psychiatry. We deal in realms of truth, O Lord, and you are our defense and our high tower. We don't have anything else. We bide our case by that, Lord. We just stand here ready to be judged in that respect, because we know already that that has been set forth, that that is the judge, the great word. So, Father, we just stand in it, and what can we say, Lord, but we recognize these things, and we believe that there must be something right, that we would recognize them, that we would know the things of God. So we just love you tonight with all our hearts, and praise your name for your goodness to us. Bless us now in Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Well, it's certainly nice to be back here. I missed Wednesday and felt like I haven't been in church for a month. I don't know about you people. I told you one time I kind of like to stay away from church because it never was too exciting. Now, nothing else is exciting.
Amen.
Nothing else is health-giving, restful, peaceful, joyful. All those good things are in it, and I believe that's the way it should be. Well, we're very happy everybody's here, and realize we have our good brother and sister, Odin brother and sister Green, come all this distance, and not to mention Felita folk down to our nice, lovely snowstorm. Well, if you brought it, I wish you'd take it back with you. I always get my anointings messed up. I'm north in the wintertime or south in the summertime or something. One of these days we'll fly away. Well, praise the Lord. We'll all go to a better land one of these days. And anyway, it wouldn't matter if it did snow and you get a glorified body. Lord, give me the glorified body. Everything else will fall into line. I believe that. Why, sure. That's right. That's right. Good to see Brother Tawari down here from up there around Ann Arbor. Now, I want to bring a message tonight that is quite a bit different. And I'm going to speak from my heart and from my understanding on the subject, the projecting of love. The projecting of love. Now, I didn't know Brother Evans was going to speak on the love of God Wednesday, but this actually has nothing to do with that subject. So I'm not saying anything different from him, correcting him, upstaging him, or anything else, because this subject was what I had in mind. Now, Brother Branham said that when love projects, then divine grace takes over. And this is a very basic concept of cause and effect, because he said when love projects, you'd have to sow the love, and then you'd reap the divine grace. So it's a matter of a basic concept of cause and effect. And remember the same thing brought to our attention when he said that he threw a rock up into the air and said, "Thus saith the Lord." And he said, see, you've got to do something to cause something to happen. And that rock literally caused a suction that started a whirlwind and then threw that wind into the cliff that gouged out actual flint-like rock out of that cliff, which was a tremendous thing that's seen by many people, over 20 people. Now, this, what we're looking at here, this cause and effect, in the religious world is called sowing and reaping. Now, we understand that. What a man sows, he reaps. You have to sow in order to get something back. And it works that way. In the economic world, it's called something for something. You have to, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Somebody had to pay for it. Somebody had to give something for it. And in this divine grace then, concerning this divine grace, then it is not just something that happens, but something that is made to happen. It is motivated. Now, that's what we're looking at. There is something that is done in order to bring this divine grace into being, and it is the projecting or the sending forth of love. And that's wonderful, but when you consider what lay behind Brother Branham's message when he preached Love Projects back in about 1957, it's all the more wonderful when you realize that there is a superior, how would I going to put this? It's more wonderful as in the sense that it's superior to a simple cause and effect. What Brother Branham brought to our attention, because we understand the term cause and effect and sowing and reaping, but it is completely more wonderful because Brother Branham clearly put it to us that we have the ability to completely turn a singular cause and effect that we are involved in to another effect by a love process. Now, I hope you're getting what I'm putting across here, because here a person sows wheat, he gets wheat, and here a person sows and he reaps, and that's fine. But in the sermon that Brother Branham preached on that, he literally brought us to a place where if we have been in a certain pattern in our lives, that a certain effect which would normally take its course can be obviated by a blessing which would be placed in the category of a divine grace, God intervening, intercepting, and moving in our behalf. Now, one of the illustrations in that sermon that gives me this understanding is when Brother Branham was mowing the lawn, and when he hit the hornet nest and produced a cause that was about to bring a very hurtful effect, his immediate reaction was, "Hey, I am one with you. I had no wrong intentions. I'm sorry, so would you please go back to your house?" And they went back to the nest. Now, the genuineness of the prophet came through, that genuineness of the prophet that brought this to pass, where he could literally communicate in realms of nature, although that's normally outside of our pale, that genuineness came through as a conservationist and a lover of God's natural world, wherein he desired to maintain a harmonious relationship with nature. Now, you notice that Brother Branham always said, "I'm a conservationist." And he always talked of a harmonious relationship. And so, because he was very truthful in his attitude and in his love of the true principle of conservationism and his employment of himself in that particular area, when he ran afoul of that very the very law of nature, you notice that God interposed by a divine grace and set aside what would have been normally what would happen, which would he'd have been stunk et up all over. You see, now, you see, normally it'd be a wasp or hornet. He doesn't care two bits about your love or anything else. So the principle we're talking about is an in-depth principle that goes beyond the simple cause and effect. See? A divine grace intervention because of love. Now, the same thing, or the agape love, came through when this demoniac, a ruffian, and likely a killer, tried to beat him up in Portland, Oregon, and he said such a love came over him, and he had such a love for that person, that even though he had to say, "Satan, because you challenged the servant of the Most High God, I command you to fall at my feet," and the man literally fell at Brother Branham's feet. Those were two of the illustrations. So we see that when love projects, grace takes over, God helps us out. All right. Now, from here on, we want to try to get into a message that helps us understand how we can project that love that brings about divine grace in this hour. A love that turns the tide even from evil intent to good endings. Doesn't turn it from evil intent to good intentions. No way, shape, and form. But it turns the tide from the impress or the impact of what would be evil endings to good endings. So, here is my understanding I want to bring. And to bring it, I'm going to use several scripture in a reading of scripture. And we'll just start with those scriptures now. We're going to go to 1 John 4, 7 to 21. We'll start with that. And I don't intend to get involved. I intend to get it just as simple as I can, but to show you what I believe to be what is in process in this hour on the Alpha and Omega principle, especially beginning at the 4th chapter of 1 John, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And we know the statue of perfect man. Love that which is perfect is here, God is here. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfect in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God hath to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And every one that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten him. And this we know that we love the children of God, and we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and so on. Now, we want to go back to, we'll go to John 2 a little later on. But first of all, we'll just read those scriptures that are pretty tough. The ones that usually cause people to stumble. In the 4th chapter, again, if a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and every one that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, we keep his commandments, his commandments are not grievous. All right. We're going to go now to 1 John 2, 7 to 11, then 3:11 to 18. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loves his brother abides in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. He that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Alright. We go to the 3rd chapter. We read 11 to 18. For this is the message we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain was of that wicked one that slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, the world hate you. We have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need, and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now, these scripture have been bandied about for a long, long time by just about everybody under high heaven. And it throws a pall upon the people, because it sounds very much like that you could be born again and hate your brother, and yet under no condition can you be born again if you do hate your brother. And so therefore there is a constant agitation of the problem of strife and things that goes on within the church. Now, I want to set the record straight tonight. In 1 John 3:12, it says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, in 1 John 3:12, John calls Cain the brother of Abel. Now, he calls him the brother of Abel. That's what he does. But was Cain, or Cain's kind, one of the brethren? In the sense of 1 John 2:1-12, when he says, my little children. I'd like to hear John come back from the dead and tell me that Cain was one of his dear children. So let's get the record straight. There's something here that doesn't ring a bell. Is Cain and his kind one of the sons of God? As in 1 John 3:1. Is he in 1 John 3:7? Little children who do righteousness. Or in 1 John 4:7, beloved. Or in 1 John 3:9, born of God. Or in 1 John 4:6, we are of God. Or as in Hebrews 2:11-13, both he that sanctifies and they that are sanctified are all of one, which is the one source. And he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Or as in 1 Peter 1:14, obedient children, born of incorruptible seed. The answer is absolutely not. Now, you may have yours, but I'm having mine. How could Cain be of the evil one and be beloved, a son of God, born again, righteous, etc., etc.? Let's go to Matthew 12:46-50. Now, this chapter in Matthew 12 is one of the toughest, strongest chapters in the whole Bible, because this is our hour when he appears to the Gentiles. Well, you can blaspheme the Holy Ghost and go to hell, where there is no recourse. 46-50. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. And they said, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. And he answered and said unto him and told him, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, the learners. Learn of me. And said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven. And what was the will of God? To believe on him whom was sent. the same as my brother. Cain was not a brother to Abel. He had a different father. He never had anything to commend him. There's one in the genealogy. No way, shape, and form. Let's go to John 16. Let's take a look at it. Beginning in verse 1, these things have I spoken unto you, said Jesus, that you should not be offended. Surprised. Then discouraged. Hurt. But taken in stride. They shall put you out of the synagogues. They. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he does God a service. They who? The brethren. But not the brothers of Jesus Christ. But their brethren. Now let's go back to first. Now let's go here. To verse 4 and John 16, first of all, and read this also. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. Not things. I don't want you to be hurt down the road. I'm going to tell you something's going to happen. They're going to put you out of their synagogues, out of their buildings, out of their thinking, out of their heart, out of their mind. They're going to dispose you into the junkyard and say that dirty, rotten bunch. The dares to upset our apple cart. Now he said the time's going to come when they're going to kill you and blame it onto God. They're going to be so obsessed with a religious spirit that they're going to kill you to do God a favor, to do God a service. Because they have not known the Father nor me, but they'll say they knew. You're gonna sit here tonight and tell me that Cain didn't say, I know God the Father. I've heard from God the Father. I've got the offering exactly right. Ha, oh, come on. Who are you trying to kid? But these things have I told you, when the time shall come, you remember I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning. You plumb forgot, didn't you? And I remember saying, beginning. You don't recall that John said, a message from the beginning. A commandment from the beginning. Oh, that was just put in there for fun. Oh, we don't believe every word of God has power. We don't believe every word of God, even jot and tittle, means something. Oh, no, we don't. What we do around here. Now, he said, I didn't put these things on the line at the beginning. But he said, I'm putting them now because they're going to happen. I'm putting them now after a beginning. You follow me? All right. All these things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you. Okay. Now, he was there in the flesh. He's going to leave him now. When it comes time for the Spirit. Okay. Then when he comes back in the form of the Holy Spirit, and the devil knowing his time is short, don't you think the bride's going to sit around flowery beds of ease, picking her eyelashes so she look glamorous, hallelujah, curves them just right, you know. Get the eyeshadow on just right, she must look glamorous, you know. You'll be lucky you got a gunny sack. Physically speaking, instead of trying to look pretty, you better depend on what God will do for you. That's right. Because by the time he gets back here in the person of the Holy Spirit, 100%, she's wretched, miserable, naked, blind, a filthy, rotten, belly dancer, strip teaser, hula hula. Well, what did Brother Branham see? Do you think he saw the truth? Put it where it is. Let's go back to 1 John 3:11 and read it again. It has some understanding. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. This is the message from the beginning. And in the beginning, they had something they didn't have then. It was already kaput. Like Paul said, you lost your first love. I'm not referring to the two things. I'm just telling you, the church had lost its virginity. The Antichrist were already there. What John took them back to was the beginning. And Jesus said, you didn't have to contend with this. But he said, now you do. Now you do. That's right. He'd already revealed that Judas amongst them. I don't have to worry about Judas or anything else. He was there. You didn't have a problem. And you heard Brother Branham say the same thing. He said, oh, it's roses that I'm here, but I'm leaving you. You better watch out. Something's coming down the road. See? But what came of John 16? Judas opposite Christ. There's Cain opposite Abel. And Cain betraying Abel. And Judas betraying Christ. Now let's look at another beginning. Let's go to Acts the 2nd chapter. The 4th verse. They all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them languages to utter. That's nice. They're full of the Holy Ghost. That's the main thing. Let's go to chapter 4. 34 to 37. Neither among them lacked anything. For as many as were possessed as the land or houses sold them. Brought the price of things that were sold, laid them at the apostles' feet, and distribution made unto every man according to his need. And Joseph, who by the apostles surnamed Barnabas, which is her son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land sold it, brought the money, laid the apostles' feet. See, they had won everything. Well, let's skip over here to the 5th chapter now. 7:11 verses. About the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Old Ananias there had lied. Sorry, Sapphira came in. And Peter said, tell me, what did you sell the land for? She said, just exactly the price you mentioned. Peter said, how is it you've agreed to tempt together to tempt the Spirit of God? Behold, the feet of them that buried thy husband in the door shall carry thee out. And she fell down straightway. Yield up the ghost, and young men came and found her dead, carried her forth, buried her by her husband. Great fear came upon all those in the church. And it said, no man durst join himself. Now listen, that sin was taken right out of the church. Those couple of Cain birds were taken right out. They didn't have a place in there. And people couldn't even join themselves. But you'll notice something. The twins started in the church. It already started. See? It was on its road. Cain and Abel were twins. Two different sources, but they lived together. They worshiped together. The whole problem from the beginning and continuing today is that brethren is a community word and does not differentiate between brethren from brethren as God does. Even as there are two worlds, one the ungodly, one the godly, two kingdoms, one God and one Satan. Two words, true word and a false word. Two churches, a true and a false. Two brides, a real and a phony. Two ministries and anointings, the whole thing. Jesus said, to bring his point to the Pharisees, I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. He said, Abraham didn't do that. He said, I know you're Abraham's children, but he said, you don't believe, and Abraham did. Now, let's get the stars out of our eyes about anything but real agape love or the agape love and look at the full truth. Now, let's look at the full truth, brother, sister. What was there in the beginning? Because we're not to concede anything today in this hour of complete demoralization. Spiritual immorality and corruption. We've got to go back to the Word of God. We're going to go back to that Word by going to Galatians. We're going to read what the Apostle Paul says in the book of Galatians. We're going to read most of the whole chapter. Beginning at verse 1. Then 14 years after, went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation. God said he could go. And communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. In other words, every single thing that Paul ever projected, every letter he wrote, every deed he'd ever done, came under the scrutiny of a certain word that justified, exonerated, or condemned. You talk about a plumb line. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in. Ah, there's brethren and they're phonies. Phony baloney brethren. No more brethren, Lord Jesus Christ, and children of God than a hog can come out of a dog. Now that may sound rough language, but I'm going to tell you something. Seed stays where God started the seed. It doesn't change. These were not the seed of God. They were the seed of the serpent. Brought in to spy our liberty, which we have in Christ, that they might bring us into bondage. Paul is talking about a revelation that he had. Such revelation that gave him a freedom. And anything apart from that revelation brought them into bondage. You understand what I'm saying? Now, come on. I treat everyone as an adult here, so keep your minds on what I'm saying. To whom gave we place by subjection? No, not for an hour. Oh, you should love them and prefer them and say, dear sweet brethren, if you say so, hallelujah. Oh, merciful God. What are you talking about? That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it doesn't matter to me. God accepts no man's person. False brethren, true brethren. I like a guy with guts like that. Wish I had it. Not some nice mealy-mouthed guy. This old boy was criticized like Brother Branham, a woman hater. A disturber. A troublemaker. They didn't like him. Well, he said, they the seen what? They didn't add anything in conference to me. Now, he went up to talk to the chief apostles. Hey, Paul, don't you know you're talking with John the Beloved? Don't you know you're talking to Peter that opened both doors? He said, so what? So what? So what? Let's give him the word check. Oh, I was with Christ. Oh, I was with William Branham. Ha, ha, ha. So was Judas. So was the deity cult. So was Lee Vale. And maybe I'm one of the few men in the world got the guts to tell you what the prophet said. Any person truly full of the Holy Ghost with a genuine gift can be used by the devil. I stand here, I believe, full of the Holy Ghost. I believe I've got a genuine gift of teaching. I could be used of the devil. You better have your word check on. You better test to see where we're going. Paul had a job to do. Right. I want to tell you something, brother, sister. That old apostle Paul that didn't see Jesus Christ in the flesh, that didn't eat with him, didn't sleep with him, didn't go fishing with him, didn't go hunting with him. That one had a revelation. That you and I depend on tonight. You say you believe William Branham. William Branham had to depend on the same revelation. They added nothing but contrariwise when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John are seen to be pillars, James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which also forward to do. He always did. And when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before the certain from James came, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when those Judaizers were come, Peter withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. Insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. When I saw they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as the Jews? What kind of a nerd are you anyway? In pulling a deal like this. I should feel embarrassed and apologize for Peter, but I stick my neck out a long way. I'll change it. What kind of a man are you? You open the doors, you say? What's going on here? Where does it line with the word? Now I want to ask you a question. Did Paul love Peter? Were Peter and Paul brethren? Is this how brothers act? Not in accord to Sister Flucy Tootsie of the Pentecostal movement. Who can shut up with every creed and denomination and spirit of hell and call it God. Because they smile. Well, I don't smile. I got nothing to smile about. Why are you doing, he said. We who are Jews by nature, not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid! If I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Now where is your love? Now it said, how can you say you love, you hate your brother, and yet you say you love God? How can it be? What, he's not talking about this. Or is John defending himself back there in the book of John and literally sniping against Paul with his snide remarks because now he wants to get back at Paul? Well, come on, think it over. I invite you tonight to put on your thinking cap and step right out on the ice. Right in the open glare of the light of Almighty God. Put yourself on the carpet. Ask yourself the question, is John sniping at Paul? Is Paul sniping at Peter? Does Peter conveniently forget what he boo-booed in when he wrote the epistles? Or is there something here you and I had better get to the bottom of before it's too late? I really understand that Brother Branham said compassion is doing the will of God. Love is doing the will of God. And you'll never do the love of God outside of knowing that will, because you can do God a service apart from His will and go down. Okay? Now, Paul is giving us the truth here. Now, let's go to Acts 13 and 2. I want to look at something in here. This intrigues me. The man who wrote the chapter on love. And we started by reading Acts 13 and 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, let's go to 15:36 to 40. And some days after Paul and Barnabas said, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them to Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them. Oh, Paul, boy, did you blow it. Now, you're kind of a nerd. You're the guy that walked all over Peter. And you're the guy that wrote 1 Corinthians 13. And now you stand there and get in a literal Donnybrook with your brother over a personality, and you split. You split even though God said put them together. You believe that? Or do you really believe it? I don't want a lot of amens, but I just want you to know, do you really believe it? Do you believe God was in joining together and God was in putting apart? If you don't, you don't believe in sovereignty. And you don't believe that God knows what he's doing. Because God said to William Branham, take those two boys, Leo and Gene. And he had to take them. And when they kicked up their heels, the board fired them. And Brother Branham said, don't you dare fire them, bring them back. Because in the vision book, God had said, they were going to false doctrine. Leave them alone. They'll destroy themselves. I saw the vision book. I know what I'm talking about. Brother Branham's own handwriting. Does that answer your question? Oh, my God does funny things, doesn't he? He let John the Baptist have the Holy Ghost before he's born. You and I can't even get it that way. Oh, God's a respecter of persons. You bet your life he is. Because you see, what you're trying to do is take that verse of Scripture where he's no respecter and put it in a place where it doesn't belong. You better quote the whole thing. He's not compassionate one, I don't compassionate the other. Esau have I hated, Jacob have I loved. Sure. The same one that said, don't make any image, he said, now make a brass servant. The same God that said, don't you dare kill a man for a sacrifice, took his own son and killed him. Don't you tell God what to say. You stand back and listen. That's what's wrong. People can't understand. A prophet don't get to first base. They're all mouths. Big mouth, big mouth, big mouth. Not Bigfoot. Merciful God. Who cares about Bigfoot on Mount Everest or someplace else? It's a big mouth. It's in the Vatican. In the churches. That you got to watch out for. Contention was so sharp between them, they departed asunder one from another. And I'm going to tell you something. As one person rightly said, you never heard about Barnabas from that day on. But you heard about Silas. Now, where's the love? Perfect love. Perfect love. Amen. Absolutely. Because the love from the beginning was, it is written in the volume of the book, I come to do thy will, O God. Amen. Amen. Having loved his own which are in the world, he loved them unto the end. He said, I love those sheep and I give my life for them. Somebody a little bit all messed up on his thoughts of love, brother, sister. Let's go to 3 John 1 to 12. That's the epistle. The elder unto well-beloved Gaius, or Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified the truth that's in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Hallelujah. This is marvelous. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren, to strangers, which are borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loves the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I'll remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against me with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and cast them out of the church. Beloved, fall on that which is evil, but that which is good. I thought old John quote taking on this.
I thought love was just something you could do anything you wanted.
Well, I can't see that in the Bible. Now listen, we don't have to read and reread until doomsday to understand the true revelation of the Word separates, angers, brings murders amongst the brethren, brethren being both true and false. And I want you to know that these men, like Paul and John, everyone had fault, but there wasn't one that ever said and denied when the Word was brought to their attention, denied that that was the Word, or ever hesitated to make amends. Always the Word was the judge as to whether it was love or not love. But people want their own ideas about love. Until you've got literally a substitution of sex for love. And it doesn't have to be the joining of two primary sex organs. It can be just about any other field. I'm not trying to get vulgar. I'm just letting you know that I know and you know. That the touching, the handling, the fondling, the hugging and all those things that goes on as a mark of the world is not necessarily of God because the Word is against it. And the prophet forbade certain things because he knew just where they went. It was nothing but flesh and filth in the first place. You got to get back to the Word. The unadulterated Word, brother, sister, and that's when you know where love is. And that's where Brother Branham said, ashamed of him. Are you ashamed of him? And he brought it right down to the reality of the hour. Whether you're ashamed of him who is the Word. Now, I said we don't have to read and reread, hash and rehash until doomsday to understand that true revelation is where men abided, and that was love. And when they got off a revelation, it had to be corrected, and that is love. But to countenance anything else outside of the Word as the filter and the guideline cannot be love. I'm sorry, but that's it. See, it cannot be anything else but that. Otherwise, you pervert the Scripture and you talk about men coming in and you simply love them. And you take them to your bosom. And there is no correction. You better believe there's correction because Brother Branson said love is corrected. And when God corrected Cain, what did Cain do? He rose up in anger against God and killed his brother who was righteous because of a revelation and that which came out of the revelation. Let me tell you something. Let's get this flat. Abel could no more do anything than what he did, and Cain could no more than do anything but what he did. And never the twain shall meet. Seeds cannot cross-propagate. There are no white blackbirds and no drunk sober men. There never have been. Now let's read a little bit more about love. Just for the sake of moving into the subject. Matthew 24 and 12. It tells you here, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Tells you that. At the time of the false prophets, they'll deceive many, and because of that particular iniquity, the love of many shall wax cold. The love of what? They'll follow those who are false prophets, and they'll deny the very word of God. Where has Pentecost come today in the latter rain? Oh, we've gone way beyond the Bible. Oh yeah, they don't care anymore. They've left that. Now listen, this is the end time. We are warning concerning the end time. And it says here that the love of many will wax cold. In other words, there will not be much projecting of the love that is real from the Word of God, which is Word love. The love of the Word is not in them. As Jesus said, there is no place in you for the Word. He was telling them categorically there was something missing. And if you don't have a love of that Word, if you don't have a love of a revelation, if that is not paramount, I don't care what you think you are doing, you have got yourself literally into an adulterous
and fornicating affair rather than the agape love of Almighty God. Let's go to Romans, the 13th chapter. And I'm just reading a few things here. I'm still laying a foundation. I'm laying a groundwork. 13 and 10, it categorically says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, just a minute. What law? Anything goes, that's love? No way, shape, and form. Love has a law. There is something required of it. There is something that it does. There is something definitive. There is something that conforms. So therefore, love has to have a word of some description. Let's go to Philippians. And there could be many more. We'll go to Philippians to begin with, though. The first chapter and the 9th verse. A little more. And I pray this, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Now notice where it says your love goes. It goes in knowledge and in judgment, or it doesn't go. That's right. In plain English, if knowledge and judgment are not there, it is not love. Well, come on. There's something wrong, so I'll prove it to you. Let's keep reading. I'll prove it. That you may approve the things that are excellent. That you may be sincere and without offense in the day of Christ. And that's ours. That's right now. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and the praise of God. All right. Romans 12 and 9. Now watch this one. This will get you what we're talking about. Let love be without hypocrisy. All right, then, there's a love that isn't hypocritical. There's a love that is hypocritical. Is God's love hypocritical? The agape love never deceives. It was a filial love that the serpent brought into the land, and it's a filial love now. Listen, people, get over that idea that love, humanly, is going to fulfill you. It'll drag you down and kill you. Look at your Reader's Digest. This girl that, in the crowd, like Einstein said, who needed Einstein to say it's been said a million times, I know before Einstein, that you can literally die of lonesomeness in a crowd. The girl in the class excited this man to a deeper interest and a prompting to teach in depth because of her very vivid response to his teaching. Only to find out that she committed suicide shortly afterward. Then he decided that you cannot tell about love. You cannot just merely go to the place where you talk about it and think it will express itself. You have got to find a means whereby in your discussions you'll put it into an action. And he said, being from a strong Italian family where they did a lot of loving and especially hugging, he got the people showing, like you see on all the cars, have you hugged your children? That's wonderful, but don't hug your neighbor's wife. And that's part of the scene. That's part of the scene today. That's part of the idea. You can touch, but don't touch where you're not supposed to touch. The whole thing has gone through a sinking perversion. See, God's against it. Now, there's a false love, one which is hypocritical. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. The 3rd chapter, and in the 12th verse, I'm just kidding, skipping these things, hitting them. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, toward all men, even as we do toward you. Now notice, he set himself up as William Branham, as Jesus Christ, and said, you watch me, I'm the one that you listen to and follow and watch. Then you'll know where your love is. And Brother Branham literally was a woman hater, but he wasn't a woman hater. He couldn't stand the stench that a raw-born prostitute exudes when she's messed up with men walking off the street. She stinks. Mentally, spiritually, physically. You're old enough to understand what I'm saying. I'll read it again here. Paul said, the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. He said, I'm setting the example of love. And he set the precept. He said, let any man be accursed that changes this word. I myself included, or an angel from heaven, let him be accursed. Come on. And people say, love, love, love. Like a woman years ago, she said, Brother Bale, she said, you know, the thing is this, we should put the word to one side and just love each other. Talk about Jesus. I said, hogwash, he is the word. The time we got done, I said, I wasn't even fully in the message. I just knew that there was something beyond her nonsense. You mean to tell me God gave a word and died according to it, and the Bible distinctly says all things were made by the Word, and all things were maintained by the Word, so that I can categorically say to you tonight that if you actually receive this Word will receive you. If you stand by this Word will stand by you. Now, where's your love? See? We love Him as He loved us. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. You got to bring it down to where it is. And He says, even as we do toward you, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'll just take time to refer back here to 1 Corinthians for just a second, and I'm going to hit it again later on. Paul says, so you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Apocalypse, that He may confirm you unto the end, you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it tells you right here that He may establish your hearts unblameable and holy before God, even our Father, at the parousia of the Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Now He's telling you right here, in this hour, that if you are one with that Word, you're blameless. You're abounding in love. You're established. You've got it. Oh, says somebody, but I'm looking for this. Why don't we just shut up? Listen, let me tell you something. I don't know too much about horses, but I've been around them. And their horses, whoop, 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 whoop. So the good old boy that drives the horse, he puts blinders on the horse. And all the horse can do is look at him. Chum, 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 chum. And they say, poor horse. No, good old horse. Maybe this way, this way, this way. We need blinders. We need our eyes open and blinders. Too many horses. In the bunches. Not around here, but around all the country that say they believe the message. And those horses are neighing like horses at the neighbor's wives, which in plainly shall bring down a spiritual adultery and fornication. They just can't wait to go back to Pentecost or get someplace else. They just can't wait to to get away from the Word. All the time talking about Paul and his Word. They're none but a bunch of Baptists. Presbyterians. Come on, I've been all through that stuff. Hebrews the 10th chapter and in verse 24. Look at it there. And let us consider to provoke unto love and to good works. The Word means to excite to paroxysms. Get people excited about that love. What love? The agape love. Which has definition. Which is not undefined. Which has a spiritual backbone of the Word. Which you might say is liquid Word. The life of the Word going out from you. We could go on. But we'll go to Romans, the 5th chapter now to solve our problem. You see, aren't you finished yet? Nope, just starting. But hope that I don't have to be all night in doing it. Romans, the 5th chapter. I don't know if your fire's turned up too much. If that's the furnace, that's okay. But if you got the oil on, I don't suppose. You can turn it down. All right. Beginning of the 5th chapter, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace when we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now listen, I want to tell you something. This man Paul, in those two verses, is delineating upon the justification, which means we have been declared righteous by God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and the eternal presence of Christ. We stand right there with it all in our hands. Looking right to the very resurrection, the very glorification. the outworking. Now, not only so, but we rejoice in tribulation also, knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, which is endurance. And endurance, experience, or maturity. And maturity, and character, hope, earnest expectation. And earnest expectation maketh us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, here is what we're looking at. Here is the process of the outworking of love, or how love will project and bring forth grace, which Brother Branham spoke of. Now, we know the attribute of the Holy Spirit, called love, is one of nine fruits. Love, peace, joy, long-suffering, so on. That's in Galatians 5. It's also exalted as the chief thing that a man could attain to in 1 Corinthians 13. Now here in this scripture, it simply tells how the bride churches can come by the projecting of love. And it comes in a series of steps. And this is to the bride as a group, as well as individuals within the group. Even as Brother Branham preached on the stature of perfect man, that it went through the churches in seven church ages, but also in every single individual. Now you remember the sermon. So therefore we start with the definitive revelation of justification, which, as I said, the price paid, and we are heirs of all that grace produces in and through Christ, right up to the wedding supper, as it says in Romans 8, concerning the predestination of the children of God. And because this is so, whom he justified, then he glorified. And then if you're glorified, who dares lay anything to the charge of God's elected as God the justified? Who can bring us into God's court? No way, shape, and form, because Christ died and rose, is now in our attorney. As Brother Branham said, he is judge and jury, and he said attorney, everything else. And the answer has come back. We are absolutely justified or made perfect with his own perfections and righteousness. Now, Paul said that. Now, listen, today. Today, this same thing has been declared to us by Prophet William Branham. We are declared today as a bride to be the spotless virgin bride of Jesus Christ, declared to be in our own testimony, I and my Father are one, declared to be in the ushering in of the millennium, declared to have fulfilled all the good things that must be fulfilled in us through Jesus Christ our Lord, because everything under the thunders will put us into the millennium. We are here, as I read over in 1 Corinthians 7 and 8, in the very unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have this assurance. We have this peace. We have the positive understanding that we are absolutely righteous as God himself. And nothing has been imputed to us. For in our justification it has been explained, little bride, you didn't even do it. You were trapped into it, so therefore you are righteous. As it says also in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, you that are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall reveal in heaven in flaming fire, those angels, bringing forth justice and a judgment in earth, as the widow cried for vengeance, so the bride has been calling to God, avenge me. And the avenging is, you are righteous. I can come here and stand here, and you can stand in my presence, a pillar of fire that will go out and destroy everybody that comes in my presence. No man can stand in my presence, but you can stand right here and live by grace of the Almighty God. Now listen, we are there. This is our faith. This is our worship. This is what we declare. This is how we present it. This is the message in this church, which I believe Brother Branham preached, which I believe I'm faithful to. But watch what happens. Watch the tribulation, which the scripture says our glory, our understanding of what he's done, our present truth which we're involved in, all of these things which make us to know this is of God and the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, knowing what God has done and we believe it. Now what happens? Tribulation sets in. What is it? Which is persecution begins to strike us. Watch those who eat with us, who pray with us, who worship with us across the country in groups like this. Turn on this word of faith and consequently us and try to destroy us by way of our influence especially. Our revealed faith that puts us into the rapture. No, wait. Now, don't miss this. We're going to go to 2 Peter, the second chapter, because this is the hour. Now, I'm talking about love. I'm talking about love. But there were false prophets among the people. When this great when this great one gets revealed, this prophet that interprets, that doesn't bring the word, but interprets the word, reveals it. This Elijah, at the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, ready for the resurrection, the rapture. Now Peter says there were false prophets way back there. Now he said what happens after this man comes on the scene. There'll be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even saying no, refusing the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. Now it tells you right there exactly what is going on in this hour, and we have already dealt with that in other sermons. See? Watch them run and twist everything the ministry stands for. How they criticize your efforts and your leadings. The ministers themselves put pressure on other ministers and church members on church members and pull. Their lies and their innuendos are buttressed by their self-justification as they stalk like peacocks and tell you how wonderful they are. But look at their records. Look at their records. Check the records. A man that has to tell you how great he is and how wonderful and how he's so truthful, this and that, you better find out. You better be just as smart as Mark Twain was, who said when a woman protests her virtue and a man, his integrity, business-wise, he said, I cultivate the woman because she knows she's an easy pickup. And he said, I don't fool with a man because he knows he's a crook. Mark Twain wasn't any fool. A man who smoked cigars and cursed God died something like an atheist or an agnostic. Had a whole lot of discernment, a lot of people to call themselves Christians. That's right. With great swelling words, fade. Well, I was with the prophet, he told me many things. I'm going to tell you something. Bill Branham never told me anything along with those guys, heard. We talked word. I don't know what other people heard. That's their business. My business was we talk word. We discussed the serpent seed. Found what I could about the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. Brought what I could in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Understood a lot of things that you people understand. And only by the grace of God because I was there. Because you said, just a minute, brother. Don't you just a minute me. Brother Branham said, God could have used the wind. Even a windbag. But he didn't. He could have used the sun and the moon, but he didn't. He used men. And whether you like it or not, I think I'm pretty well in the category.
Amen.
Yeah, same as you are. So look in the mirror. See what did it. Trying to be somebody? No way. Trying to mislead anybody? No way. Trying to find out what's right. Try to be a little service. Feigned words. Make merchandising. Right back to the Roman Catholics. A measure of wheat for a penny. Measure barley for a nickel or whatever it is. Selling the novenas, the masses, the prayers, the whole bit, the whole lingo. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and damnation slumbers not. In other words, those twins keep coming down the line. The crow and the dove, the eagle and the chicken. Cain and Abel, Judas and Jesus. False spirit, true spirit. False word, true word. Keeps coming down the line, brother, sister. Let's understand it. And they'll pull. Oh, yeah. Now listen, but notice when this comes. Now here's where we could fail, but we better not fail, because we're supposed to, according to projecting of this love, getting in the stream of it, and knowing what it is all about. Watch. I want to find it here. Peter says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be your in heaviness, through manifold temptation. And that word, rejoice, is to be exuberant. And Brother Branham brought up the same thing in this hour, of great rejoicing. Why? Because we have that word. And our love is rooted in the love of the word before it makes one move. That's why he said the bride's going to have the word nor do with it, or she'll shut up or she'll stand still. And preached on doing God a service apart from his will. Oh, yeah, brother, sister. Now watch. Here is where we are, who are one in this revelation, stay with each other. I'm preaching personal. Now watch. Here is where we, who are one in this revelation, stay with each other. Just stick real close and don't get spooked. What am I talking about? All this talk that comes back all the time. All the meeting of people that got all the answers. They want you in their camp. They try to take authority over you. We'll pull you here and pull you there. Yep. Who want to build a church up? Listen, I'm not lying to you. When Brother Branham died, if I'd have started a local church, they'd have flocked in by the scores. I said, no way. And you won't flock in here either by the score. We've got too small a building. Check your motives when you come any distance at all. I'm not trying to get rid of you. I'm not trying to get you. I just tell you flat, I won't be responsible for you. Because I am. The minute you come to hear this teaching that I breathe, to be Brother Branham's correct my understanding, which is Brother Branham's correct understanding of my knowledge, what God gave him, as he got the correct understanding of what God gave Paul. So it can be done. What if I was wrong? I'm not trying to grind an axe. I'm trying to bring this thing down to the place of what is love anyway and how do you project. Now let's get this flat. By no you know now that God can only answer according to his word. And if he answers any other way, then it is to the reprobate. And they die with leanness of soul. And you end up with a lot of gifts, but not the baptism. You end up in the false church that is so close at the end time to the real that only the very elect are not deceived. Now take your pick tonight, brother, sister, which way you're going. Do you really want to find out what it's all about? I do, God knows. I'm not trying to preach to you people to just get a rise out of you. Because I haven't finished my sermon yet. Now listen, stick with each other. Just stick real close and don't get spooked because this testing of your revelation gives you character. Now let's go back. All right. Let's read it. You glory in tribulation. Now, it can't come from a true brother. A true brother says, sir, you're not in the truth. I got to help you. He'll lead you back. If you smart off, he may pin your ears back. Like Paul did to Peter. He said, okay, Barnabas, you're a fine boy, but out. You respect my leadership. Don't try to rise up and be leader of me, said he. Barnabas said, the Holy Ghost put me here, therefore I'm just good as Paul. I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Ghost can put the deacons here and the elder here and all you here, but you'll never come up to my ministry if my ministry is of God. Now you understand that or go on home now. Because you're not going to get away with it. Not to leave ill as anybody, but I have no Bible order. Now you can talk to me and I can be wrong. But you see, love is corrected. And love is fully an outflowing from that word. It is basic to the Word, contingent with, and is the Word. Because God is love, and God is the Word. So we just can't fool with these things. All right? Now it says right here, the tribulation worketh patience, and patience means endurance. All right. This, what comes against us, the false brethren, the attempt to take us off the Word, should not make us go this way, that way, but stand back. Like Brother Brad said, hey, he said, I like a good little argument here. He said a little contention. And he said a little bit of something coming against me. He said, I got to examine myself again and say, hey, is that just right? Now notice the attitude of a real man of God. That's what Peter did. But he said, Paul, I got to admit, he said, I was wrong. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Never do it again. He didn't do it again. Yep, you don't find Paul in the fight with anybody either again after Barnabas getting split up either. Had a love affair with Silas, and I guess Silas died and Paul died. You didn't find him getting any more partners. And, of course, the love affair is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong about that statement. Well, sure, they just love the same word. All right? So, therefore, now you're enduring. And you're learning that you've got to stay with it. Say, look, brother, sister, there is no such thing as anybody sitting on a fence anymore. Listen, if you can come into these meetings where I preach, and the third time, you're not on one side of the fence, look, do me a favor. Just smile sweetly and pretend you get it. Just, you know. Look, that's an awful insult to my preaching. I believe one. I don't believe I got to preach three times and you not know where I stand. I mean, look, Brother Branham said so. I knew that way back before I got to know Brother Branham real personal. I said, don't tell me about this word. I said, this word is so great. A man hear it two times, that ought to do it. And I'd forgotten the Bible said, you give this to a heretic twice in a row. If that doesn't do it, forget him. Just leave him alone. Brother Branham said the same thing. He's got to say the same thing. Under certain conditions, there's men that just don't know too much, and you work with them a while. That's true. But look, you ought to know a few things. We ought to know a few. Now listen, this gives you endurance. Now, which is that patience we're talking about. Makes you stand there with what you got so you're not spooked and you can stand and watch. I have told you and I tell you not a lie. I tell you the truth. I have waited 10, 12, 13, 14 years for one point since Brother Branham left us. Yes. And the laws that God lays down in my heart and in my mind are what the Brother Branham taught have increasingly given me an understanding. And it's 19 years gone by, almost, coming in now. What it is. 65, no, that's 18 solid years. 19 coming up. Since he's gone. Two complete nines. Alright. Now listen. It says that you're enduring. You're standing there is doing something, but you don't know what's going on, and one day you'll wake up to it. It is giving you character or maturity. Not just experience. The experience is in the Word of God. And the Word is maturity, and it is character. And Brother Branham said, find me a woman, a bride of such character, as shall listen to the message or one voice. Now we're talking about this projecting of love. See? Now in here, it says the next thing is happens is character and maturity. She is lying in the sun maturing. Now people say, well, Brother Branham didn't say lie in the sun and rot. That's exactly right. Because if you're really in this word, my brother, sister, you're going to have enough enemies to more than do your stomach for the next 50,000 years. In other words, you're going to get a belly full. Just might as well bring it right out in public. A little vulgar, a little vernacular, but it ain't going to hurt anybody. You're going to have enough. You'll have your enemies right there. You'll be lied about and everything else. And you'll be lied to. And of course, there's always the famous twist of all, well, I didn't mean it that way. You didn't understand. Everything under high heaven. You're going to have a problem with what you're going to... I don't care what anybody says. You're going to have a problem. Now, the bride has got to learn to stand there with what she believes. See? What she understands. That'll work in her the endurance, which gives forth a character where she stands in the water to be dressed. Now remember, Brother Branham categorically said, the sword of the Lord, why he said there's only the sword, he said there's only one the sword of the king, and that's the word of God, so help me. Bring on your holy vesture with the holy word of God standing by. He was telling you, would take this word to dress you, to give you your character, because you don't have character apart from the word. Now, beginning with the plan of justification, perfect word of bride, you stand right there with that revelation that come down to you. You stand there on the right side of the fence with Jesus. You got to get off the fence. You got to stand there and you don't vacillate. You believe what you believe. There's things you can't understand, but you stand there anyway. You're getting character. You're getting right. Now, with this rightness comes hope, which means an earnest expectation. You come to the place where you say, look, I don't know how I'm going to be in the rapture, but I know I'm going to be in the rapture. Because I've got a revelation of the hour. I'm not going to die though I could die tomorrow. I'm standing in the light of the rapture. I've got earnest expectation what this is all about, which is to put me in a rapture. For under the seven seals were the seven thunders, which gave us rapturing faith. I'm going to see the dead come out of the ground. And I'm going to have resurrection faith, which means I'm going to be changed. Which gives me one thing left, which is rapturing faith. And I've already got it in a measure. And you begin to see here that the shout is to the living. And people say, so he's here, so what? Or what has it done to the individual? Oh, I wish that man had never asked that question. I can name him a dozen things. I'm sorry to hear preachers ask questions like that. It lets me know they don't even know what I'm saying. There's no way of them knowing what I'm saying. No way. Now listen, she lies in the sun and matures. She knows her Melchizedek. The time of strong meat. She knows who he is, Elohim. The one who becomes. She understands all the roles that are going on at this time. She's privy to the full counsel of God. She stands with the prophet who said, always looking back, always looking forward, never know what's going on. She says, I want to raise my hand to do. She understands. She's right in me. In the presence of our son. The healing in the wings is starting. Immortality is growing fast apace. And there will be those here whose very atoms will be changed. And I was just thinking the other day, could it be possible that you and I will be just like Abraham, but thank God, let's get the point across, sexless as far as desire is concerned. It will be 16 years old each. And suddenly see, and not yet changed to immortality. I don't know that's going to happen. But it wouldn't surprise me. And you would know what no one has ever known before outside of Abraham. And stand there in the dew of youth and the beauty of holiness without one quiver or emotion in the wrong way. And then you'd know what Adam could have been. And he blew it. See, how do you get that? I don't say it's going to happen. Shouldn't it be nice? I'm going to tell you something. Something nicer is going to happen if that doesn't. Which is you'll know the thrill without losing one breath or one beat of the eyeball. One beat of the heart. No way will you lose any sense of touch or taste or smell or sound or whatsoever. But suddenly it'll be intensified because you got that sixth sense back in perfect functioning order because you've been changed. Oh, yes. She knows who Elohim is and what's going on. She tries the spirits. And she doesn't go by feeling like someone comes in. Oh, I don't feel it's in your church. And I said, that's exactly right because you don't belong here. Amen. Because it's not by feeling. It's by... You don't take the word and judge the word by the spirit. You judge the spirit by the word. And I'm going to tell you, if that word is lined up in this building, I don't care how hard this preacher up here gets. I'm going to tell you something. You are in the spirit. Because they thought Brother Branham wrath and a rave. And they said that man who judged others. I want to tell you, praise God for William Branham. Hallelujah. And every word he said. Now listen, let's go a little further. It says in here, now this earnest expectation... And earnest expectation makes us not ashamed. Something has happened. You don't care what anybody says about the fact you believe that he is here. The rapture has already begun on the grounds that the Lord has descended with a shout to the living. That the separation is going on. Matthew 24 is going on. Luke 17 has been going on and will end in a rapture. But I believe Matthew 24 has ended already because we're separated and being separated. Living sheep from goats, so to speak. Just last time, what is going on? Very, very true. Now, it says here, this earnest expectation has gone to the love of, is gone. We're not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is now in operation. Yeah. Yeah. Now watch. You went all the way from justification, the word coming, the declaration of who you are and what you are and your presence, and you are standing with that word and with nothing else because there are no more signs, there's no more evidence, there's no more nothing, and you can stand right with Abraham and know that there isn't. Oh, come on, let's go back and read about Abraham. What should we say then as our father Abraham pertained to flesh is found, pertaining to flesh, what he done? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath rubbed to glory, but not before God. God stood right there, and Abraham said, God, oh God, I'm a wonderful fellow. And God said, oh, you bet you are. Yeah, you're wonderful, all right. Fat. You sure took my promise and messed up when you took Hagar, didn't you? What a wonderful guy you turned out to be. What said the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned to grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. Justified. You stand there and you know that you're justified. You take the word for it. Like Brother Brown said, Abraham didn't even look at his own conduct. How he ordered himself. Look, you have got to see this word and see Christ. And in Christ you see redemption. Amen. Ah, they're down to sinking sand. Where are you going to put yourself? Now you can stand in His presence. Watch the pressure come. Watch the pressure come. Oh yeah, so what? You watch everybody kick his heels up. Yeah. Why do they just love to hear lies about other people? Everything they can to twist. Because Satan's coming against us for one reason. Try to get us away from this word. There's a certain brother, I won't mention his name, but he got in touch with me. I sent him some tapes. He was at a meeting. I don't expect ever to hear from that man again because I believe he's just too nice for guys like me. He can't stand the pressure. He's known of Brother Branham's ministry since Brother Branham is dead and before that all these years, but he's never mentioned his name in his church. Look, there's the picture of the pillar of fire. So what? Oh, well, you know. Oh, yeah? What does it mean individually? Camera cottage. What does it mean? What does it mean? Something's wrong somewhere. Our expectation, he said so. Now she's one with the word. She isn't ashamed. That means she's not naked. The shame of that nakedness do not appear. The bride is dressed. She stands there with faith in him. She's one with the word. She is clothed in her right mind. She's not insane, like Brother Branham said. The spirit of hell and insanity has left her. She will never hallucinate to see those images come in, those birds that stretch across the heavens, and they scream out in terror and ants that are big as telephone poles, and they imagine locusts with long hair because women cut their hair. Bride won't see that. She sees him. She's at rest. Oh, yeah, looks like turmoil, but she's at rest. You say, Levi, I don't believe you got any rest. I got news for you. You're reading the covers. Get inside the covers. Get inside the covers. Yeah, she knows who she is. In her right mind, one of the word. Here's where she is. You see, the one who is love is here. And I'm going to tell you something. Because the bride has received him, he is going to receive her. Prophet says so. Everybody talks about, oh, he's going to receive a bride. Ha! The bride had better receive the bridegroom. Uniting time. uniting time sign. Here she is. And I want to stop and make myself very clear here. I want to remind you, I'm talking about individuals or members who are all together make up a body, a local bride church. And I'm talking about her attitudes that determine her conduct in and amongst her members. Don't get scared. Just listen. I've got a club over your head, so just relax, will you? I said, I'm talking about individuals or members who all together make up a body, like a local church, you see. I'm talking about the attitudes, based on the word, of a projecting of love that comes through a series after the revelation. You follow what I said? You follow me? Now, what I did, I took you through a process in the book of Romans, the first five verses. The revelation, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ready for the millennium, the bridal supper. Now, this what we have based upon a manifested proof. The word of God revealed by manifestation so we know where we're at. We are now in earnest expectation of that glorification. That's what it says. The minute you come to it with the full revelation, tribulation sets in, persecution and problems. Now listen, we're talking about two kind of brethren. Community brethren is Cain and Abel together. Brethren of God is Abel. Brethren of hell is Cain. Amen. The crow and the dove are both birds. Generically speaking, brethren are brethren. Humans are human. Males are males. Women are women. But there's a difference. There's a haint and a saint. There's a Christ lover and a Christ hater. There's two spirits, a true and a false. There's a heaven, there's a hell. There's a kingdom of God, a kingdom of Satan. Let's get it straight. So there's two kind of brethren. Now remember, it was Ishmael, the brother of Isaac, that tormented Isaac. Yeah. Right? The scoff. Remember Brother Terry's sermon? It was Abel, Cain that killed Abel. It was Judas that betrayed Jesus. Ananias the fire invaded the camp. They got clobbered, but then it got really taken over. Then one day, a man who wrote the great book on love came up to Peter and said, Peter, you're wrong. Now, Paul, just a minute, sit down, dear boy. After all, Peter is older than you, and he did walk and talk with Jesus. And you should defer to him, you see, because you understand. He said, I understand one thing. I have a revelation. And he had the same revelation, and he blew it. I want to ask you a question. Where does your love go, toward God or toward man? When it comes to the word, it's got to go toward God first. Amen. Then it's going to work out. Then there's no use anybody saying, I've got a love toward God. If he doesn't abide in the word and strictly utilize that word, its power and its resources in dealing with his fellow man. Now deal with your own resources and you'll both go to hell. So God so loved the world, he gave his son. And you love God and your fellow men, that you didn't know who was sheep or not, that you were willing to lay down your life and go to a mission field. That you're willing to put your living on the line. You're willing to do all those things. Why? Because you got a living word with you. But the minute they cross that line against that word, you got to bring them right back to the word. And remember, God is judging this world now by the word which is Christ Jesus. Now, everybody's squawking today about these judges. And they're talking about love. And they're saying, well, that dear boy, he really didn't mean to rape that girl and to kill her. You see what it was. His parents got divorced, and such a shock, such a traumatic thing took place that you, what if it was your daughter, Judge? Well, he said, you see, I don't have a daughter, but I have a son who could do the same thing. So in great love, I must let him off. You hate his guts. Because the man will not clamp down on rape and everything else. As Brother Branham said, the reason he had to go against capital punishment from the humanistic viewpoint was always the poor man died and the rich man got off. But let's get back to the word. Now, we're talking about a local church. We're talking about her attitudes that determine her conduct in and amongst her members. Each one and all together alike. She understands 1 Corinthians 12. She is not in opposition with anybody or in competition. She is one. I wish I could understand that ministers, especially in my own personal existence, could understand I'm not competing with anybody. I'm competing with myself and the devil and trying to be a servant of God. Why can't they do likewise? That's why I've set myself apart and I just don't have truck and trade anymore. They can do what they want. They simply don't want to understand. That solves the problem. Forget it. I'm going to go on. I've in honor preferred my brother day in and day out. No man can deny that record because God is my judge. It's the truth. Even my enemies admit to it. But I will not fool around with that which is off the word. I have a ministry. Moses, the meekest man in all the world, said, Father, I'll die with those people of him. One day men rose up against his ministry, and he said, God, if they die, the death common to men, you never even call me. One day Peter said to Jesus, oh, far be it from thee, Lord. Get thee behind me, Satan. You don't go off that word, brother, sister. The bride knows we're not in competition. We're not. No way. She understands cooperation. She understands trying to be representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And be a living idol unto him, as Brother Branham said, the stature of perfect man. She doesn't talk about a body ministry anymore, as though everybody's got some lovely little part that you seek God for and who cares about the word and all. She only knows one thing, give him preeminence and let him be the word in her. According to that written word, let it be manifested. Now listen carefully. John talked to a bride that at the beginning now, did not have the mixed element. It was a true revelation that all had. A virgin, so how could there be a persecution arisen from within? No way! No way! The 120 names comprise the perfect bride of Jesus Christ. There wasn't any difference. None. Why? Because it was all word-centered. A little difference came up over who got so much soup and who got so many noodles. Well, they said, let's divide the soup and the noodles. Exactly right. Take Holy Ghost men to do. No problem. We're giving ourselves to the Word of God and to prayer. That's why you got noodle feeders in the church. They take care of the mundane. You got men that rise above it and take care of the other. And the church goes marching on with the word of God, fulfilling her destiny. The church at that time was not mixed. Did not have a mixed multitude. They were one pristine purity. Then persecution arose from outside. And they clung together. What they saw in you, in each, made them cling together. Let's go to 1 John 4. Now persecution arises from the outside. Then it starts coming right to the inside. Let's take a look. First John 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because a lot of folk are trying to get in here. They're claiming the same thing, because many false prophets are gone out in the world. Hereby you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now that's for this hour. The fullness of the Godhead body and manifested in flesh again. Whether you like that or not, that's the truth. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, wherever you heard that it should come. And even now it's already in the world. You are of God, little children. And overcome them, because greater is He that's in you, He is in the world. Now listen. Brother Branham categorically said, I am not the Son of Man. The pillar of fire is not the Son of Man, but it's the form of the Holy Spirit. William Branham stood there, so the Spirit of God in a human form. Jesus Christ and William Branham performed the very miracles. Say the very words supposed to be said. So we looked at him. We saw God in a human form. We heard God. God speaking through the man. Not speaking William Branham's thoughts, but God's own thoughts. God moving. In other words, the man wouldn't do that. Now, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that's in you than he is in the world. In other words, He said, they'll come, but you'll know them. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world. The world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God hears me, said John, and men like me. He that is not of God does not hear us. What if William Branham was in that mold? Then everybody that turned his ear on against William Branham is out. Then what about those that say, well, I do believe and don't? Watch them. Now, there's where you got to watch. Because, you see, there's going to be those that walk right up and say, phooey. There's going to be this going to come within us, and they're going to cause the problem. Now, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. All right, now. Well, that's a good amen to that. Now, listen. Now, Romans 5 here, we reverse it. Right back there, it was there. They weren't working up to anything. There was none among them betraying anybody. The influence was on the outside, where it says, no man durst join himself to them. You couldn't even come near them. Ananias, Sapphira rose up and died for it. Now, people are looking for all kinds of things like that. I am not. I believe Ananias fire already here. I believe they're already dead, spiritually speaking. Not that something couldn't happen physically, but I don't look for it. I just leave those things be. Brother Branham said a little word in it. I let it go with that. Now, I said, listen, that started back there with that love. Now, look, Paul reversed it because it was already in the church mixed up and messed up. Now, I hope you're listening carefully, because this isn't too hard to see if I can just get it across to you. Now, listen. I want to bring it home to this church. Over the years, we have in this bride church locally have been struck time and again from within by those who would bring us down. Now, don't be angry or critical of my remarks, but you should stay quiet, because I could be right. And if I am right, you better know it. If I'm wrong, I'd better know it. Now, those words cannot be denied. I have witnesses. I'm not trying to be too personal, but this tape will not go to anybody, but what's in this congregation belongs to this group of people, or nobody else gets this. And when you get it, you bring it back. You want to hear it again, you bring it back. If I release it, then it's my business, but this is for this people here. Over the years, in this local bride church, we have been struck time and again from within by those who would bring us down. But we weathered the storm. We endured. And by enduring, we developed a character to stay with the Word and ripen in the sun. We ripened. We expect to be in the rapture. We are a one-minded bride. That is why we have love amongst us. You didn't think I believed it, did you? and why this group is solidly together as it never was. Now you tell me if I'm wrong. I'm not stupid. I wasn't born yesterday. And I watch everything as a hawk. And I'm a pretty hard guy to get across to. And you can look at me a little bit stupefied right now because you didn't think I'd ever say these things, did you? Well, y'all, being for a surprise is good for you. Because I'm not in this pulpit just by chance. And I say, that is why we have love amongst us and why this group is solidly together as it never was. And my little cliche was, you're so busy fighting for me, you can't fight each other. And that isn't really the truth. You are so busy with this word and believing it and staying with it, you don't have time to fuss about these other things that are really corny and stupid. Now, we have come up through the evolution or steps to love. Let someone come and try to move us. Now, getting personal. Why do I have such an elder as Brother Evans and I have the deacons and a song leader the way they are? I'll ask you a question. Why do you think Lloyd leads his song service? Because he went through his own hell of literal disorientation by someone trying to destroy his mind over this word. And unfortunately, I was the one teaching. So I got clobbered too. Why, Brother Evans? Because this church today exists for one reason. That the word as it is believed goes over this pulpit. When it ceases, he can rip this building down. He will do it of his own accord or burn it. Whatever he wants. Why do we have deacons? Such as Bill and Mel. We've known Bill all these years. Soft-spoken, easy to get along with. But you drive him, and you wish you hadn't. Mel paid his price of literally a dislocated mind. Until he got out of what was driving him from the word of Almighty God. Look at the family now. Now you look at the people in this church, and I'm not going to compliment you. I'm preaching what could be a swan song. I don't know, and I care less. But I've looked at you people over the years and over the time. And I'm satisfied for the first time to be at rest with the people that I do not believe are humbug, haywire, or murderous. That you would sooner be burnt than burn. That you would sooner give than take. And because of one thing, it lies with a word which is a judge and a standard and is the filter and is the criterion and is not a person. Though it is true that we are those who deal with the word. And if we weren't originating that word, we're never going to be bright anyway. But I have hopes. From what I see in the metamorphosis, in the conforming, in the projecting, that there is a love in this church that will make the people do what Brother Branham said. Now listen carefully. He said, look, when that one or somebody's come into your group, and they sit amongst you with the avowed purpose that they will attempt to destroy, do not click or clam. Now, how can you, if your eye is on the word, if you're on personality, forget it. Now, I'm not sure that everybody here is exactly perfect concerning personality, because I myself am not. I've come to the place where I can tolerate anything on the grounds I tolerate something else too. And I believe I know every single one of you, at least to a degree where I know weaknesses and I know strengths. And it doesn't bug me anymore, not one bit. Oh, I may look at it and say, well, why not do something about it? But you're not gonna, so that's fine too. But the premise is solely on a word. Not on a conduct per se, though conduct is a legitimate requirement. You see, you could show the most wonderful love in all the world and be a flat-footed hypocrite. And you could stand like the Apostle Paul and say, Peter, I'm going to tell you something. As much as I hate to kind of push your nose into it, You blew it. You blew it.
I had to phone a man not too long ago. I knew what he'd already done, where the fruit was going to go, and it came to America. And I said, you blew it. He got so upset, he made a phone call almost from around the world. And the man said, son, I would have told you. But he said, I could see you needed a lesson. So I let it happen. That was love. You say, hey, the guy should have warned him. Oh, no, it would have simply caused a fight. Don't pull up the tares, let them grow. And remember, there's a rain that's called former and latter, and they come together, and it'll separate the tares, so don't you bother. You just stick with the former rain that's falling in the latter rain, and the tares will go, because God will go, and remember when you say, I and my Father are one, it's too much for them. The shuck's going to pull away from the grain. It's ripening. United time, sign. It's all over. It's going on. This is where your growth has come. So, there will be none of the taking of sides or clanning. There'll be no clicking and no separating. Just the pulling together and a going on. Because you know what is taught here, and you believe it, and I believe it, and this is what counts. From there on, anything which lies in the difference of personalities can be perfectly adjusted and will be adjusted if you simply want to adjust. But I'm going to tell you something. You can't give yourself a revelation. And if you've got a revelation, you've got the real thing. Then as Bob Brown put it so nicely, he said, it's no problem to find out how to walk in the Spirit if you live in it. All you got to do is to look at the Word, and it'll tell you how to walk. It's there. You see? Now listen. Giving love to anyone and everyone until that one comes in or gets out is now possible. Because the one thing they want to do is get us off the Word. And that's the one thing they can't do. So what does it matter how nice you are? You can afford to be. You can. You see, Brother Branham premised this on a love. And he premised it on him. He said, I'm here. And he said, you love. He said, why? Because they had a tie post. Let me tell you something. When the tie post went, he said, it'll all go bluey. Now look, he said, he that is here now is the tie post, he must increase and I must decrease. We have a greater tie post than ever. We have the living Logos. With the revelation per se. In an ever failing reflection that is bringing us right to the glory of God, to the wedding supper. So therefore we couldn't do it before. But you can do it now. You can say, can I let my hair down? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't have to tell anybody, look, if you're going to leave, tell me now and never come back. I don't care if you come and go, really. You say, Brother Vail, why? I've told you why tonight. I preached you. I preached the message to this congregation. I can say, like Brother Branham, you can believe what you want on the outside. Or if anybody did get a take or anybody here, you do what you want about what I preach. I am preaching to you people here that come here under the sound of my voice. Listen, who respect me and believe that I do have a gift ministry of a description which lies in teaching to take the Scripture. To stay with Brother Branham and understand. And I believe I can say the same thing now. The devil is not going to leave us alone. But look, don't put your thoughts on the devil. Put your thoughts on God. Don't worry what comes in and goes amongst us from now on. Because look, we've been through it. See? I'm going to close in just a minute or two here, but I want to read something. And I'll try to cut down tomorrow morning. Cut it down real good, though you know that's an impossibility the way I preach. Now listen. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. It tells you right there, look, we've been through it. We can help others to go through it. We know what's here. We know what lies ahead. Let us begin to realize we are not walking in darkness. We are not unaware of the tricks of Satan. Let me see if I can find that one. It's here somewhere. I wish I could remember just where that is. I always have the worst trouble in the world remembering the things I want to remember. Oh, anyway, it doesn't really matter. As I could find, I guess, if I just took a little time here, I could pick it right up. But I haven't got that kind of time to bother with it. But anyway, it tells us very, very succinctly here that we're not unaware of the tricks of Satan. We're not unaware of his methods, of his wiles. We're knowledgeable. Now look, brother, sister, here we are knowing the ways of God, knowing the Word of God, knowing Satan for what he is. Antichrist revealed, Satan revealed, God revealed, all of the revelation, the Word, here it is. Look, let me tell you something. We are not walking in blindness. We are not walking in darkness. We are walking in light. And there is not that day or any day that can overtake us unawares if we realize, if we realize the metamorphosis. The projecting, the evolution, whatever you want to call it, of what we are talking about tonight. See, let love project. Stay with this word. Stand with it. See, that's where the starting point is. Stand with it so nothing can come in and take you off of it. Then from that point on, it is a very minor decision to stand with these other things wherein we know how to conduct ourselves and do conduct ourselves, which is our reasonable exhortation from God. Now we have come to that love I'm talking about. Keep it projecting and watch God work on our behalf and continue cleaning up and building up a bride that he is going to get out of here. This is getting ready for the squeeze, but also for the rapture. I do not preach any message that we have arrived. There is no way that I believe we have arrived. I believe I'm seeing the word interpreted by manifestation. A manifestation amongst us. I believe it is in other churches. Now listen, other churches tried to clean up and develop a love. They confessed and cried to each other publicly and rejoiced and said, this is it. I said, hogwash. I saw it happen in churches in Hope Sound in Florida amongst the dead Methodists. Or the sleeping virgin. And they hugged and they kissed. That is the husband and wife. They made up. They made public confession. No more near this word than nothing. Now, the churches that did it. Where is one church that did it first? I'll tell you what. They made their preacher. He made himself the Archangel Michael. So he's got a seal in you. You fall on the floor. That's the last understanding I have from good authority. The other fellow's church that made the great profession of everything they had in such love, they've gone to polygamy. They could both have it. They neither have it. So neither do you have it on those grounds. You have not arrived. I'm merely trying to interpret you and show you the things, the outworking of where we are now. We are in a position we were not in a position before. We can relax. We can't afford to expose ourselves. That is to lay ourselves open for others, but not to a false word. To get bitten again would not be the greatest crime in the world, or I think we should be by that too. And I mean it in this respect. How many times would a person have to prove he's off the word? I'm speaking now concerning the understanding. How many times would he have to be in disobedience to what we follow here is that which is a natural concept of a Christian conduct? To know that person needs some kind of a relief and some kind of a help to build him up. You see, look, in no way Do we believe we arrive? No way. Do we go through some emotions and motions? No way. Because I saw those churches do it. The Methodists never moved out of their tracks. These that are Pentecost amongst us have gone right back and used that as a cover-up, as though they have something. But I see God's word coming to pass, brother, sister, the way it's laid out here. I see a love projecting. I see that we're able, if we only believe, to project this love like a laser beam at the enemy and see us never failing, never failing us, never working ill to the neighbor, never working ill to anybody, but a constant overcoming in all things until the bride gets out of here. Now, you do what you want with the message. I'm not a prophet. I don't have any extrasensory gift or anything else. But I do believe that there is nothing at this moment that is not fully exposed to the Word, where the Word gives us the literal, beautiful understanding. I would not say for 1 minute that this church is ideal, because it is not. From the top down, it is not ideal. I do not believe for 1 minute we have here a fountain of knowledge as though we have all attained to the epitome of it, to the apex. I don't believe for 1 minute. I believe as much we have to, we'll know as we go down the trail. But I do believe that what has come to our attention, brought by Brother Branham, that we believe it correctly, what we see. What we don't and what God wants to give us, He will give us. We are not striving for it as though we need to know things. We left ourselves open to the grace of Almighty God. I believe we understand where we're at today in this Word. And I believe because we understand who and what we are and what position we have in a certain limited sense, which is still a very wonderful sense, I believe that there is no reason at this point that we have to be defensive in any way, shape, or form. We can be open and above board and all things kind and considerate because we stay with the Word. And because each one of us stays with the Word, there cannot be any such thing as hate. Misunderstanding, a little criticism, grant you. But there cannot be hate. There is no such thing as hating a brother. Because you both love the same one who is the Word, who is here. How can you? See? So I hope you begin to understand what I'm saying. I believe there's a freedom. And with love progressing, one of these days, the Holy Spirit will so be in charge of a bride. And if we're not bride, it'll be someplace else. Or one here and there. But you watch. But we consider ourselves brides, so we look for that day. The Spirit of God move in such respect amongst us, there won't be one that's not unhealed. Not one sick. No. No more sickness. Knowing the resurrection is amongst us. The healing in the wings. He's just further and further going on. So the Lord bless you. Let's rise at this time. Gracious Heavenly Father, knowing sometimes difficult to express yourself, taking more time perhaps than we would want to take, but knowing some of these things do cause misunderstandings where people cannot realize. To put to your credit and their credit a working of the Holy Spirit according to the word of Almighty God, wherein this is the message you heard from the beginning, and this is where the love was, and the enemy came and came against that love and murdered the brother, showing that he wasn't a brother. False. All down the line, Lord, we see these things. And we know that so many things have come to us in a form that just does not cut with the last day message. But here it is. The prophet said love is corrective. Love is doing what you wouldn't do except you do it for God. Love is doing the will of God. Compassion is doing the will of God. And here there are people right here. And Lord, many places around the world, little groups here and there. Not trying to be bride, but our bride. And coming to the understanding of what is going on, what has gone on, and how we're coming more and more into that image, more and more into the rest of the Word, more and more knowing that what has been set, what is in order, what your Word is, the revelation, the manifestation, the proving it out, all these things. So, Father, tonight, if we said anything wrong, we stand open for correction. If anything the prophet said that denies what has been said, Lord, and I've been seeing wrong, my thinking is simply wishful, that it is not a manifestation of the Word of God coming into effect, Lord, I certainly want to disabuse myself and the people of anything that will be in that category. But at this moment, we not defending ourselves, Lord, but believe that we have seen at least a modicum, a ray of light shining, which we believe is the right direction, that there is a love that would not be recognized by those that have a dissimulated love, that is just not a true love. But Lord, I cannot understand anybody following your steps when you said, "Vaughn, the book is written of me. To do thy will, O God," you went right to death for what was written. Right to death for that word. And how much more, Lord, will we stand by that word? Not much more than you, but how much of an example do we have? There is nothing left for an example. It is all a reality. So we honor your name tonight. Now, Lord, as we partake of the emblems of the communion table and the foot washing, may this be with a meaning, an understanding, and a depth that we have never had before. That we can honestly believe in the shed blood, the cleansing, the life that came back, the memorial to that great, tremendous thing which took place, and now we're receiving the complete, revealed, and full benefits of the last hour. And washing of feet, signifying many things we didn't know before, didn't understand, but we're getting to understand now, and coming into fuller revelation. All these things, Lord, we lay at your feet tonight. Oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord, to get the absolute true drift and the understanding of what I've been saying tonight. I cannot give the people anything other than words, Lord. Any more than the prophet could just give us words. It took you to breathe the life into it. Father God, breathe, I pray tonight. If this is your word, would I preach true? And somehow I know a truth lies in there. Something is in there that is contingent right down in this hour. Lord, breathe on it, I pray, and bring it into a depth which every heart is longing to have. And I know, Lord, that even though this prayer is acceptable, in a sense, it isn't even necessary to be uttered because you're going to do it anyway. But I say it, Lord, to encourage myself and others who are praying with me that we will settle down into the depth of the understanding we are coming up in this way of that love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, the revealed Word, standing with it now, and altogether, the bride becomes invincible, and we can afford to love and let love rule under every consideration. Not one is going to be deceived. Not one is going to be fooled. No way, because our solidarity and our unique oneness is in a union of the Word, and from it, we go on into a conduct which we know and all men have known all these years to be right. So, Father, we thank you for your help. We know you've heard us as we've tried to say right and been careful to say what is right as far as we know. Grant your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, the deacons come forward. They're going to serve tonight then, and we'll just remain standing. We'll just pray over the emblems. Heavenly Father, again, we look to you. Stand guard here at this time with these emblems and all, knowing, Lord, that Your grace is abundantly manifested to us, has been and will be. And as we partake, Lord, it is in remembrance of your death. Till you come back to earth with us and in your kingdom, we drink it anew. Whatever all that signifies, I know it's going to be wonderful, Lord. And we just look to you now to bless these elements and the partaking thereof, to the healing of our wounded souls and minds and spirits and unto the very bodies, O God, drinking, eating benefits that lie within Calvary, within it all, Lord, and you there now enforcing it, absolutely standing with it. O God, we praise you. We commend ourselves to you, therefore, in Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. Just come on as you usually come then.